Radio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke.
I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Jake the Snake, Horowitz, you take the cake, Hunter Hurst, Helmsley, and Savio, you
This is a tale about Tim Cornette, the polyester king, with Owen Vayner and the dog. It's a not so nice a thing. They screamed, they yelled in Los Angeles. I heard them from afar. Cause Cornette would only rent a mid-sized rent-a-car.
Oh.
We love the superstars. WWF superstars. So come on, let's start the show and fire up the burner. Screw you, Ted Turner. It's time to start the show. The Slammy Show.
It is indeed time to start the Slammy Show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, PWMania.com, brought to you as always by MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by the Slammy Award winning Lindsay Ward.
I don't know if I'm Slammy Award winning, but I have a funny feeling you came in with the wrong music tonight, my friend.
Oh, no. We open with that one, we're closing with the other.
Fair enough, because, well, people cleaned up tonight.
People did clean up this evening. Boy, did they ever. It was a night of awards given out. You, the WWE Universe, got to vote via your apps and all that fun stuff on how to, you know, you decided who won these awards, and if you're not happy, well, you should have got the app. Or, like me, hack the app. With that being said, we're going to get...
say, don't be hating just because, you know, you don't have an educated phone.
Hey, I vote it. My votes count it. Just
you sure?
They did. The app actually works.
Fair enough.
Anyway, we opened up this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, the Slammy edition, with a special opening. Like an award show, which was kind of awesome. With our opening contest, Daniel Bryan and Fandango. Thoughts?
Fandango with a fancy new outfit. And yes, there was the fancy open. Sorry, I had a mouthful of toast.
Oh, good. Yeah, fancy new open, fancy new outfit for Fandango. A really purple shirt.
Very ruffles.
We had ruffles. He was more of a professional dancer this evening. And as many figured, Daniel Bryan wins the match with the running knee right to the head in his home state of Washington. Nice way to get this show started. You give them the person they wanted to see right off the bat.
Hold on. Shield and suits.
I've already lost her.
It's the Shield in suits!
I understand this. I understand it's the Shield in the suits. I understand this.
And then it's a Shawn in a suit!
I understand this.
I would just like to thank WWE right now. Thank you for all the incredibly hot men in suits. Thank you! Thank you very much on behalf of the female fan base. Thank you. You did this right this... No, like, that was my biggest complaint about the Slammies last year, was they didn't have everybody in suits. Everybody just sort of came out if they were presenting, and they just wore whatever.
Right.
Tonight, all the presenters, and pretty much everybody who accepted, with very few exceptions, wore a suit. So thank you, WWE. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and this is where I go.
Suits me like a suit. Picture a world where all the boys and girls are impeccably well-dressed. That delivery guy in a jacket and tie, that puppy in a double breast. That 80s dude with mutton chops, that baby with a lollipop. That lady cop who's kinda cute. None in suits, I'm like a suit. Wingman I can wear. They're all so debonair. The perfect way to snare a girl with daddy issues. In navy, blue, or black. Check out this.
Yes, I have a song for every occasion.
So you're the Supernatural fan base?
No, I don't have, I'm not the super unnatural fan base, no.
Okay.
No.
But no, anyway, yes, fancy dancy intro. I like the fancy dancy intro, and I liked the match between Brian and Fandango. A lot of the matches, all the matches tonight were really short, pretty quick.
Well, this was about almost 9 minutes long, so that's a pretty long match to start.
Well, Brian's been getting 20 to 30 minute matches.
This
so
is
for
true.
Brian, you know, it's a relatively short match.
Uh huh.
But yeah, it was a good match, and God, he was over.
Oh my God, he was over. He was over like, you know, wildfire at that point. So Daniel Bryan wins his match, and of course that means
time for Boo Boo.
Bray Wyatt then showed up on the screen, basically telling Bryan the clock is ticking, he needs his decision. Bray said there's no happy endings in this world, it's about destruction. Bray said he needs Bryan to know that he's going to hurt him bad. And if he doesn't care if it kills him, because he will prove to Brian that he is a monster just like him. And then he basically said, "Join us."
Very, very, again, extremely good promo by Bray Wyatt. He's coming into his own with his promos. They're letting him actually cut the style promos that he's good at, which is always helpful.
And they're letting him, they're not rushing him through the promo.
No. He's being allowed to kind of take his time with it and say everything he needs to say.
Right.
In his style that works for him. And I like how they're letting him do it backstage, where they're in a dark, creepy room. You don't know where they are. They just have the lantern for light, and there's Bray, and then there's Harper and Rowan standing behind him. So you see them, but it's really ominous and creepy when you see them.
Right, that is very true. It was a nice promo from the Wyatts. As they're about to give out the first Slammy Award, they gave out awards on the app, Lindsay.
They did.
Your awards on the app included Trending Now, the hashtag of the year. I'm kind of disappointed that HB Shizzle was not up for nomination, even though later on, it became an award on its own. Your choices were We the People, Best for Business, Follow the Buzzards, and Believe in the Shield. And the winner was Believe in the Shield.
This was the first of several awards tonight for the Shield.
It was. And as we did this beforehand, I picked Believe in the Shield, you picked Follow the Buzzards.
I gotta stick with my boys.
You do. This is also moment of the year was Big Show knocking out Triple H. The others included Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and Kofi Kingston. When it came to this, did we even pick this one? Yes, we did. And we both got that one wrong. I went with Ziggler, you went with Orton and Bryan.
Oops.
Breakout star of the year included the Fandango, Big E, the Wyatt family, and the Shield. The Shield ended up winning, which you got right, I got wrong, I went with Big E.
As much as I wanted to see the Wyatts win that, they just haven't been around long enough to really catch that. I would expect maybe, depending on where they are next year, to possibly see them get that if they're nominated. But, you know, this was pretty self-evident that the Shield was probably going to pick this up.
Right. And then it was Beard of the Year, Zeb Coulter, Damian Sandow, the Wyatts, and Daniel Bryan. And, well, Daniel Bryan ended up winning Beard of the Year. I went with Bryan. Of course, you went with the Wyatts.
I wanted an acceptance speech, damn it! I wanted Eric to stand there all confused and not know what to do. It would have been amazing.
We all kind of did. That would have been awesome. But Brian won Beard of the Year, so that was the start of it. That was the start of things to come for Daniel Bryan this evening. But as I said, our first award of the evening was for the LOL moment of the year. And it was brought to us by one of the greatest tag teams in history, the New Age Outlaws.
Don't fit, I told him. Hey, look, you know me, that D to the O to the double G, the road dog Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D, A-double crooked letter, the bad one, Billy Gunn. But we didn't come all the way out here to just spell our names in cool ways. No, no. We came to present the Slammy Award for the LOL moment of the year.
Hey, hold on. Are you not going to let me talk again this year?
Billy, you're not very good at it. You see, you only had one line that consisted of two words. That's three words. Your line...
Hey!
Your line only consisted of two words. And we're not allowed to say that. You'd probably just screw it up anyway.
Well, so, really? I got two words for you!
No, we can't say that. We got three words for you. The nominees are...
All right, before we get to the nominees, you said suits.
I did say suits, and well, gee! The orange and powder blue suits from Dumb and Dumber!
They had a very bad... influence for those suits.
Yeah, they did have a bad influence, didn't they?
They sort of did.
Gee! You know, I could wonder where they could have possibly gotten that idea from.
I have no idea. I have the fondest of idea. So your LOL moments included the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal charming the snake. Or the Cobra. Titus O'Neil throws up. Vicky Guerrero fired from Raw as GM. Or the Rock concert at Raw 20th. When it came to Raw, to the LOL, I picked Vicky. You picked Titus. We were both wrong. It was...
Thank God.
The Rock concert at Raw 20th. The Rock was not there, so Vicky Guerrero accepted the award on the behalf of, you know, The Rock. And had this to say.
Hysterical, actually. What a moment.
Excuse me! I just want to say to The Rock that this represents my beauty! All of this!
Oh, Vicky.
Vicky, honey, them shorts, no. Just no, okay? I don't know if anybody works for WWE, if WWE listens to this podcast, but if you do, please, for the love of Christ, somebody go find Vicky Guerrero and tell her she needs to stop wearing those shorts. They do nothing for her. I mean, nothing. If anything, they make her look worse. They make her ass look huge. Like, seriously, somebody go and tell her that booty shorts are not business attire. Thank you. Done. End rant. I'm sorry, I have a problem with those shorts. I really do. She looks horrible in them. Plus, you know, someone like the Bellas should be wearing those shorts, not her. She's too old for them. No offense, Vicky.
So our contest was Damian Sandow and Santino Morello, with Damian Sandow winning with the You're Welcome. I can't top that.
You can't top that.
Who wears short shorts? Vicky wears
short shorts.
I can't follow that, God.
You're welcome.
That's what Santino felt tonight. We had a stare down between Big E and Sandow. Big E went for a headbutt, and Sandow backed away. And that's where it ended, right there. Okay. Now, speaking of awards, we're going to the next award for Double Cross of the Year.
I know. I look great.
Dean, you cocky little shit, you.
Double Cross of the Year. Now, we've already picked up two awards tonight on the Slammy pre-show, but this is one award we know nothing about.
That's right, my man. 2013, Year of the Shield. But all that justice we dispensed, we did it our way. Man to man, straight up.
So if you're thinking about crossing, or even double crossing the Shield, I'd wake up. Because you're gonna pay the price. And that's why.
That's why you'll never see our names in this category. Your nominees are...
So your Double Cross of the Year includes Paul Heyman costing CM Punk the Money in the Bank, Mark Henry's retirement speech, Shawn Michaels super kicking Daniel Bryan, and Triple H cost Daniel Bryan the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
I would like to point out, before we continue...
Go ahead.
This is the moment where the Shield's fandom collectively melted into just a puddle.
It was a Tumblr, Twitter explosion.
Facebook explosion, literally. It's like the Shield walked out there in suits and every fangirl and possibly fanboy died collectively at once.
We both picked Paul Heyman at Money in the Bank. We were
wrong. I don't care. I got the Shield in a suit.
I'm just, you know, trying to be professional, call it right down the middle. It's going to be a long night, ladies and gentlemen.
There's going to be a really long night.
Which is awesome, by the way. Anyway, and the winner is...
Shawn Michaels!
Well, the Heartbreak Kid is here tonight, obviously, to present Superstar of the Year later on.
What are you so down about? It's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels!
I'm not sure if this is an award that Shawn's going to be proud about. I mean, he cost his protege the WWE title. Best for business. I'm not your boy, toy.
Dad, I've got a lot on my mind, but I've been told that I can't talk too long. You know, I've been fortunate to win a lot of Slammies over the years, but never for the Double Cross of the Year, which, I mean, you think about it, that's pretty ironic, because, I mean, over 25 years, I mean, I've double-crossed a lot of people. I mean... And it takes 4 years after retirement for me to win a Slammy. I have been double-crossing people for as long as I can remember, and now I win. The injustice. The injustice right there. Look, Pinhead, I sold out a long time ago. That's why I'm still here. Thank y'all very much. I've enjoyed every second of it. Thank y'all.
Oh, Sean.
Snarky Sean was in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It was fantastic.
This moment was just glorious.
And it only begun from there. Our next contest of the evening. Well, we should mention that, you know, there was a little dissension between the Shield tonight in that little bit.
There was a lot of tension tonight. clearly, Seth and Roman aren't having any of Dean's shit.
Yeah, yeah. Dean was ready to say, and the winner is Shaw. No, and Roman jumped in and before, yeah. It's going to be interesting. So we had Kofi and The Miz. They had a match. Miz won by holding the tights for the three count. After the match, he got hit with a Trouble in Paradise from Kofi Kingston.
Which one of them is turning heel? I'm confused.
I would assume it's The Miz, but I don't... I'm not overly sure. I really don't know at this point.
Yeah, it's like they... It's like, I guess... Miz is the one that's supposed to be turning heel, but in reality, it's Kofi?
I am not sure. They asked Sharon to say one thing, Kofi looked like a pirate. I don't know what Kofi looks like. He just needs to change it. your next award was given out by Eve Torres. Who really didn't look like Eve Torres, but it was Eve Torres.
Yeah, she's cut her hair, and she definitely looks different.
It's like, is that Eve? Wow, it was Eve.
Was Eve.
Who knew? If you didn't hear the music, you wouldn't have known. So, basically, she came out. The nominees were Eva Marie, Caitlin, Natty, the Funkadactyls, the Bella Twins, and AJ Lee. For Diva of the Year, we both went with AJ Lee. Unfortunately, it was the Bella Twins.
This is obviously where a lot of people got upset because everybody figured AJ had it for a lock, but apparently not. Which is okay. Yeah. You know what?
Go ahead.
At least she got nominated, which is more than you can say for pretty much the rest of the Divas division and JoJo.
Right.
Like, think about that. They nominated the entire Total Divas cast with the exception of JoJo. That's kind of crap.
Hashtag where's JoJo.
Yeah, hashtag where's JoJo. Like, I actually went a rant on Twitter about this because if you're going to nominate the whole cast, then nominate the whole cast. Like, you know, everybody was complaining about Eva Marie, including me, and it's like, you know what, if you're going to nominate Eva Marie, nominate JoJo too, because Eva Marie and JoJo have had the same amount of contribution, but, you know, it's like, so it's like, either nominate both of them or don't nominate either of them, but no, they had to nominate Eva Marie for God only knows why.
We then had Rey Mysterio, Big Show, and the tag team champions Cody Rhodes and Goldust take on Ryback, Curtis Axel, and the Real Americans. It's what? Rybaxel?
I don't know. It sounds like a drug.
Their new name
Either way, Curtis is adorable.
Rybaxel is their new team name.
They should call themselves the X's.
Why?
Well, they're ex-Paul Heyman's guys.
Yeah, that works, I guess. So, Team Rey Mysterio won, and he had a new outfit on, I guess, compared to the ones that showed off his gut on SmackDown. Hashtag mole.
Excuse me?
I said hashtag mole.
I'm sorry, Kane Kittens was in that conversation too, thank you very much. So was, Omega. Just pointing that out.
Hashtag mull. Just pointing that one out. Anyway. We come back for our next award. And is the one, the only, the Heartbreak Kid. Shawn Michaels.
Slammy Award for the WWE Superstar of the Year goes to the man who has dazzled you, the man who has entertained you, the man who, each time he stepped foot in that ring, has given you nothing short of an A-plus performance. Remind you of anybody? And I'm just saying, as we go forward in the Slammy Awards, Perhaps instead of calling it the WWE Superstar of the Year Award, just say and give it some thought, perhaps we call it the HB Shizzle.
Love it. Maybe hashtag.
Now, at first, it's going to feel uncomfortable to you, but you just got to keep saying it. HB Shizzle. After a while, it just rolls off your tongue. You're going to love it. Now, having said that, ladies and gentlemen, the nominee for the WWE Superstar of the Year are...
So the nominees were Brock Lesnar, Big Show, CM Punk, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, and John Cena for Superstar of the Year. We both went with... Well, I went with Bryan. You went with Punk.
I had a 50-50 shot.
You had a 50-50 shot. You did. You did. You did have a 50-50 shot of getting this one right. So the question remains, who in the world was Superstar of the Year? Let's find out right now.
And the winner of the WWE Superstar of the Year Award is...
Sean double checking.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh!
Wow!
This could be uncomfortable. Love it. I think this is an upset.
I think it's a major upset, but I agree with the WWE fans. I think Daniel Bryan deserves Superstar of the Year. Why is everything he has gone through? Over the past number of months at the hands of the authority of Randy Orton.
Stop it.
Look at these two.
And of course,
Sean doesn't want to give him the award.
Of course, Shawn Michaels winning double cross the air earlier tonight for double crossing Daniel Bryan out of the WWE title. Michaels on the left, a mentor. His protege, Bryan, on his right.
First of all, I'd like to thank Shawn Michaels for the HB Shizzle Award.
That's nice.
I honestly think if it weren't for Shawn, I probably wouldn't be here in WWE. But also, if it weren't for Shawn, right now, I would be the WWE Champion. But see, I'm not angry about it. I'm not angry about it because the authority, they don't want Daniel Bryan to be the Superstar of the Year. It's the people. It's the people here that have voted me Superstar of the Year. It's the people right here in Seattle that have voted me Superstar of the Year. And if you thought 2013 was good, 2014 is going to be even better, and I've got one more thing to say. Go Seahawks!
Oh, Daniel Bryan. All right, there's a lot to get into that from that segment. Snarky Sean, Snarky Sean, we heart you.
We do.
Then, the confrontation between Sean and Bryan. Alright, I put this out there earlier today. Could Shawn Michaels be returning for WrestleMania 30? Lindsay doesn't seem to agree with me, but that segment there kinda...
I can't see it yet. Like, I can, but I can't. And there's just some... No, it's just... there's something in me that's hesitant, because it's just like, it's Sean, and he said before in the past that he's not interested.
But he will do anything for Vince McMahon.
He will do anything for Vince McMahon, that's very true, but I just... After, it's the way they sent him off, that's the thing.
I know, like, I know.
that it's like Sean's. It's like Sean said he was done, and I believe Sean when he said he was done. Now, if he comes back, he comes back, and that's great. I would love to see one more match between him and Brian, because Sean's probably got one more match in him. But at the same time, it's like he retired. He had the nice send off. We all cried. Mm-hmm. If you didn't cry, you're lying.
Yeah, we all cry. And it's like one of those things where, like, I'm hesitant to go, like, 100% let's have this match because you look at Ric Flair. But one match, one time, I'm kind of leaning that way. And, well, we'll get to more of that here in a bit.
Yes, we will.
And the man's gonna say, hey, it kind of puts the stipulation against the Undertaker meaningless, but it's been, what, 5 years already?
Mm-hmm.
It's 30. It's WrestleMania 30. It's Shawn. It's, you know, it's one of those things.
It's something of if Shawn, like, Shawn always said that, you know, I'm sure if Shawn asked Taker for the blessing, Taker would give it in a heartbeat. Because Taker would understand it's for business.
And Shawn says he wants to wrestle in front of it for his kids while they understand it. That's, you know, it's one of those things.
It's one of those things that could happen. I just don't see it happening. I think what happened later tonight was more retribution, but we'll get into that
later
when we get there.
Yeah. Up next, Sin Cara, the new Sin Cara, the new and improved Sin Cara, took on Alberto Del Rio. Sin Cara wrestled a 11-minute match on Raw with a commercial break.
And it was good.
And Sin Cara, once again, won with a Swanton Bomb, not a Rolling Senton, like Cole called it last week. Oh, Cole. Sin Cara wins again on Del Rio. It just goes to show you that, well, I don't think Alberto Del Rio is high up on that, you know, ladder at the moment in WWE.
No, I don't think he is either. Something tells me his stock has fallen quite dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Up next, fan participation of the year. The primetime players were the presenters. They did their millions of dollar dance and all that fun stuff, and they were upset that, well, their awards weren't. They weren't nominated for the award. You know, you know...
What?
What the... Anyway.
Right?
What? I don't want to... We'll address that later.
We'll address that later? Okay.
I got no words for that right now. Anyway. Oh, hey, we're back into the matches. Oh, we have to finish the award. Yeah. The nominees were Fandango and Yes Chant. Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucked, and What's Up? For crowd participation, fan participation, I went with Yes, you went with Fandangoing. The winner was the Yes Chant.
Of course.
So there you go. And Brian came out and said, I only have one thing to say. Yes. 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 It was announced that on the pre-show it will be Dolph Ziggler versus Fandango. Then we had a squash match where Brodus Clay squashed Xavier Woods.
Poor Xavier.
And then repeated shots after the match and it had to be broken up. The Miz came out to present Insult of the Year.
And Miz was actually really good in this.
Yeah, he was. So let's take a listen to The Miz.
Despite Kofi Kingston's best efforts, I'm here to present Insult of the Year. What do a billion-dollar princess, a ball-blubbering walrus, a deranged-skipping psychopath, and a Yosemite Sam look-alike all have in common? When it comes to insults, they all are awesome.
Oh, Miz, you don't need to throw out your catchphrase like that. Just point that one out.
Well, here are the nominations for Insult of the Year.
That was bad comedy from Miz a little bit at the end. Insult of the Year included, Zeb Coulter offending the universe, Paul Heyman disowned CM Punk, AJ Lee, this is the Total Divas, and Stephanie McMahon degrades the Big Show on Monday Night Raw. We both went with, what everyone was going with, the pipe bomb. I love the fact on this one that they had Punk come out before this one was announced. It's tremendous.
Yep.
It's like, oh, look at that. They're making it funny. Anyway, the winner is
Stephanie McMahon degrades Big Show on Raw.
That was awesome. That was really good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Of course you would.
I wonder if she could slap him again.
And there's one of the principal owners of the WWE, part of the Authority, Stephanie.
Mrs. McMahon. That's what I voted for.
What some people consider an insult, I consider a huge compliment, because finally, all of you have recognized what's best for business. Thank you.
Oh, Stephanie. Oh, Stephanie.
My only issue with this was the fact you didn't have Miz show a little bit more disdain when Stephanie won.
He's a heel now, remember this. Kind of.
Is he?
I don't know. I think so. Who knows? Anyway, this all led to a really, really good match between CM Punk and United States Champion Dean Ambrose.
Oh, God, this was fantastic. This was pay-per-view quality. I mean, it was that good.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Again, these two need to feud. Need to feud. Because they can put together just fabulous matches on their own when they're not, when it's the Shield feuding with CM Punk. Imagine if it's Dean Ambrose and CM Punk just feuding one-on-one and the promo battles. Good God. And the matches. I mean, it's, again, ovaries. Poof.
They were not wearing their suits. But
I was most disappointed.
She was. But they
because then I could get, it's like, Ambrose should wrestle in the suit because he was wearing a suit earlier. We can find Punk a suit and bam, tuxedo match. Make it happen, people. Make it happen. I'm not going to be serious on this show. I'm just warning everybody now. You're all screwed.
Really good match. The Rollins and Reigns were trying to help Ambrose, but they had a little bit of an exchange, and they started to leave because Dean wanted to do it on his own. And then quickly he got hit with a GTS. CM Punk picked up the victory. After the match, Punk got speared by Roman Reigns.
Yeah, lesson learned. Just let Roman handle everything. Dean, Seth, you just stand there and look pretty. Bump around a little bit, but at the end of the day, just let Roman do it. He's super, uber effective. But a little dissension in the ranks, so we'll have to see if the Shield can maybe straighten things out before Sunday.
They're going to need to before Sunday. Because they got a big match at TLC. So, and they just shoved like Dean over the Seth was shoving Dean over the thing, like, let's go, let's get out of here.
Well, basically, Seth drugged Dean off, and then he was, like, trying to push him over the railing, and he wasn't being very gentle about it.
Nope.
It's just like, Dean, you bastard, just get over the ramp. Just go.
Up next was Extreme Moment of the Year, presented by Mick Foley. Your nominations were CM Punk extracting vengeance on Paul Heyman, Ryback sparing John Cena through the LED board, the Wyatts taking Kane's head off, and the Shield triple powerbombing the Undertaker, which is the one we both went with. And well, sadly, we are wrong, because the winner is...
Punk exacts vengeance on Paul Heyman at Hell in a Cell.
That night, bittersweet for CM Punk. After everything Paul Heyman put him through, everything Paul Heyman cost CM Punk, Punk got a measure of revenge on top of Hell in a Cell at the end of October.
Who's actually winning the award? Is it Punk or is it Paul Heyman?
CM Punk, Extreme Moment of the Year.
Why wouldn't Paul Heyman win it? He was the one on top of the cage.
So was Punk.
Yeah, but Paul Heyman's the one that got up there by himself.
No, he didn't. They used the forklift.
All right, he was extreme. It was an extreme forklift.
I feel slightly strange accepting any award, not wearing pants, but hey, I appreciate anybody who voted for me. Thanks for the slammy. Thanks for Paul Heyman to being one hell of a target. And if you thought that was extreme, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you to tune into the pay-per-view on Sunday and watch what I do to three members of the Shield. Thank you! Seattle!
I love the line. I would feel weird accepting the award without any pants.
Is it really wrong? I wanted them to cut to the ring just to see who in the ring lost their shit. Because you know somebody did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We should point out that at this stage, the Usos and the Wyatt family, with Boo Boo this time, were out in the ring ready to have a match.
Yes, 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 they were.
That's pretty much how at least both of us knew the Wyatts were not winning this one.
Yeah. They were sitting there waiting. So Bray Wyatt in his chair, it was the Wyatts, Luke, and Eric, taking on the Usos, Jimmy and Jay. Really good match. It was a very physical match.
The Wyatts were vicious tonight.
You had one of the Usos super kick Rowan off the apron, then turned around and took the clothesline for all the way from Louisiana.
Right? God, that thing is vicious. Well, not even the clothesline. It's like Eric throwing the Usos around like the rag dolls.
That too. And there was one spot where they did the whole, double splash, flying splash over the top rope gimmick. And Bray's just sitting there laughing.
It's Bray being Bray. We don't pretend to even understand him. But, yeah, Bray even got into it because, well, he got up and directed traffic a couple times.
Yes, he did.
You know, dude just can't sit there and have an easy night in the chair. Nope, he's got to basically stand there and yell at them.
Yep.
And, well, he seemed pleased but not pleased at the end.
Yeah.
By the way, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, by the way, if anybody out there got gifts of Bray Wyatt's tongue, please send them to me. Media at wildtalkradio.com. Okay, thanks. Anyway. He inspired bad thoughts tonight. Very, very, very bad thoughts.
But Wyatt's win. Bad thoughts are happening. Match of the Year is up next. The nominees were Hunter and Brock, Rhodes Family versus Shield, Taker versus Punk, and Cena versus The Rock. Oh, this... Yeah. Here, Brett, take it.
J.
John Cena and The Rock, the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 29.
Of course, that was the main event at MetLife Stadium. And that was one for the ages. And here is the current world champion, John Cena.
Now I know why they call this the home of the 12th man. I can't even hear myself speak. WrestleMania 29 was a great match and a great night with one of the greatest opponents I've ever been in the ring with. I know there are some folks tonight who may disagree with the choice, but I want to thank everybody in the WWE Universe that voted for that match. It is a match and a memory I'll never forget, and quite frankly, because you voted, I guess some of you feel the same way. Thanks again. Have a great night.
So there you go. John Cena and the Rock match of the year. I was holding out hope for Taker and Punk, but I understand it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's something of a lot of people felt. Taker and Punk was a better match. The only reason I voted for it was for Taker, honestly. I'm not a fan of the Taker-Punk match or feud at Mania, as I'm sure a lot of people know, been very vocal about it. But it's not surprising that this won.
Now, here's to say something. We both got that one wrong. It was clear. Now, for months we've been saying what they do is very predictable, right?
Right.
Only one person out of all the hosts who made picks was 500.
Don't tell me it was Subway.
It was Subway.
God damn!
CB Radio only did 8 of them, so that's why he had a better chance of getting to 500 than the rest of us. But everyone else was below 500. You were 1 in 11.
I got 1!
But yeah, Subway, out of everyone, he went 500. Everyone else was below 500. I went 4-8.
Well, you know, this is a... Basing on the fact that the voting was legit, which I'm probably 90-95% sure in most of the categories, the voting was legit.
Yes.
It goes to show who's popular in the WWE and who isn't.
Right.
It's a good way for them to gauge who they want to push and who they don't want to push. I mean, it's like, well, we're a fan, or I'm a fan of the Wyatts, I'm a fan of The Shield, I'm a fan of AJ Lee, I'm a fan of The Undertaker and Punk and all these people. It's like, just because I'm a fan of them doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to win, even though I think they're awesome. It's something of, they left it up to the WWE Universe and the mass populace that was voting on the app, and only on the app for at least the televised awards, you can tell where at least the popularity lies with them.
Correct.
And you can tell it, too, based on the internet crowd that voted for the .com and the App Awards, where the popularity lies. You can tell very clearly who is over and who is not.
And let's just say, The Shield is over.
The Shield is over. Daniel Bryan is over.
Yeah. And that's
obviously it. Cena and The Rock are over.
Shawn is over.
Sean shouldn't have a problem being over.
He's the heartbreak kid. But yeah, you could just see who's over and who's not. But for the current crop, Daniel Bryan and the Shield were popular, and that's what counts. Wyatts are still gaining popularity, but the Shield right now, again, they're doing the right things.
Yeah, I would be curious to actually look at the voting to see where everybody plays, because for the, at least some of the online polls that I saw, the Wyatts didn't place too far out.
Right.
They're gaining steam, they're gaining popularity. For them to be in the company, what, six months?
Basically.
It's something of, and to be nominated in that many categories, because they were actually nominated in quite a few.
Just shows where they rank within the company.
Yeah, it just shows where they are within the company, and you look at the storyline that they're involved with. And same thing goes with CM Punk and The Shield. Although, I think some people tonight probably wanted Punk and Bryan elsewhere, and I think that ties into our next segment.
No, not quite, not just yet. there was a main event match that was squished in between there. Alright, Natty took on Tamina, and Natty won via submission.
The girls were the main event wrestling. Go girls.
There you go. Now it's time for the Ascension ceremony.
What the hell is an Ascension ceremony?
Ascension. They rose the belt up in the, belts up in the air.
Rose the belts up in the air?
Yeah. That's
you mean lifted the belts in the air?
What? You know, English, you know. You know.
I speak in the English good.
See, si, senor. Eh, don't you know? We're just giving each other crap at the moment. Anyway, can. I need to take a deep breath because there's a lot to say. So out came Triple H and all the champions in that they could bring out, including Bret Hart, Mick Foley, CM Punk, The Great Khali, Shawn Michaels, Dolph Ziggler, Mark Henry, Ziggler was out there, Jack Swagger was out there, Kane was out there, Bret was out there, you name it, whoever was there, Foley, they were all out there in the ring. So, you know, Stephanie basically spoke about how they were surrounded by all the past champions, and then with her husband, Triple H, being at the top of the list, Punk laughed in the background. Hunter addressed the former WWE and World Champions, and, you know, handful who have been both of them. And they pan over to Sean, and he goes, "Me?" With a smirk on his face.
And, well, the crowd decided to recognize somebody else.
This is where the Daniel Bryan chants really, really began. They just got louder and louder and louder. Hunter tried to talk, and he just, yeah.
And Bryan is standing there laughing. I think Henry started to laugh. Miz was standing there smirking.
CM Punk was there. Yeah, they were all laughing. And then Sean, Mr. Showstopper, the show stealer, comes up to the center, goes, "Come down, come on, stop, quiet down, quiet down, quiet down." And then Mark Henry went and raised Bryan's hand, and the crowd went crazy again. Two yes chants.
Yep.
Then Hunter brought him back and talked about, you know, "Gee, Bryan, I didn't know how many family members you have in this one building tonight." But he should have known better because, well, they all just look like Bryan. And then he got him back. He talked about this as a champion versus champion, you know, champion versus champion match. Hunter introduced Randy Orton. Orton came down. Stephanie brought out John Cena. So they were face to face, surrounded by all the champions. Hunter then asked them to submit their belts so they can raise the belts up high, and we got a loud Daniel Bryan chant again. Cena shook hands with Bryan after giving up the world title. And the crowd went crazy. At least Cena is playing along. Orton then spoke that Cena doesn't have that ruthless aggression anymore. He said Cena could have put him in the hospital last week, but he didn't take the opportunity. A loud, boring chant was being done. Orton then fired up and vows that he has all the motivation to beat Cena's ass at TLC on Sunday. Orton then basically said he told Cena that he will be the man Cena will be the man who loses the most important match in WWE history. More yes chants. And then he calls himself the greatest superstar of all time. He said he took years off of Mick Foley's career and life. Then he was looking for Sean, the showstopper, heartbreak kid. Sean's waving, all excited. Then Orton said he embarrassed HBK on multiple occasions. Then Sean had a sad. Orton then said he looked for Bret Hart and said he would have KO'd Bret Hart 16 years ago instead of needing a Montreal screwjob. Orton then told Cena that everything he has worked so hard will come crashing down around him, a loud "you suck" chant from the crowd, which is what the WWE was looking for at that point. Cena then basically said, "It's funny." Cena said he couldn't help but notice the word "work." Cena then, playing to the crowd, brought Daniel Bryan to the forefront and crowd started going crazy. Cena asked Bryan to introduce himself. "What's your name?" "Daniel Bryan." Crowd went crazy. "Where are you from?" "Aberdeen, Washington." A loud, huge ovation. Cena asked Bryan about his family pedigree. No WWE Hall of Famers or legacy. Asked if he had to work for everything he got, and Bryan basically said, "Yes." Cena told Orton that the reason why they chant and cheer for Bryan is because he worked for it and earned it. Cena told Orton that he got sheltered all his career hiding behind Triple H and Stephanie McMahon the entire time. Cena said Orton has the balls to stand here in the ring and say he's better than everyone in the ring. # bigger than the business. He said Orton has always blamed everyone else for his problems. And the sad thing is that at TLC on Sunday, that changes the course of history. Who is he going to blame now? Orton wants the title to top. Wants the top title because, he's selfish and he believes he deserves it. And if he wins it, Orton thinks he can walk around saying he's finally what he should have been 10 years ago. That's where the crowd went, "Ooh, ah." That was a great line. Cena said every time he holds one of those titles, his business card reads the same. "Want some? Come get some." Cena then put himself over by noting he said he gave Dolph Ziggler a chance. "You want to fight? I'll fight." He gave CM Punk title shots when no one else thought it was a good idea. Basically when he was leaving. And then he said, "Heck, the only legit title shot Daniel Bryan ever got was against him." And this popped at the crowd to go, "Yes, yes, yes." And he noted that Bryan actually won that one. And Bryan just smiled. Every time they panned over to Bryan in the segment, it was tremendous.
See, he was loving it. You're over when.
Right. Cena then basically said he'll give Bryan a fair rematch if he wins a title match on Sunday. They shook on it. Cena returned Orton, vowing to make a physical and brutal. Cena said he will be at his very best, Will Orton. He said the last thing anyone wants to hear is yet another Randy Orton excuse. Cena wished him good luck, put it out his hand. Orton shook the hand, and then they brawled. All right, before we get to that, Cena was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena delivered hate John Cena gets, this was John Cena at his best. Putting over others, put himself over, made the match feel important.
He gave it the big match feel. It's something of, they're standing there, they're trying to ignore the crowd as best they can. And not acknowledge the Daniel Bryan chance, which is what, Hunter and Stephanie and everybody should do. And Cena being the ultimate face, acknowledges the crowd, acknowledges Daniel Bryan, acknowledges what the authority has done to Daniel Bryan, and promises to make it right.
Right.
When he wins the match, and if he wins the match. And because it's like, Orton was talking, and nobody was having any of Orton's crap.
But I will give Orton this credit. They were chanting boring. He got more intense. He got what the best job in this promo, and this goes to Hunter, Orton, and Cena. This shows why they're three of the best in the business right now. They were losing the crowd, and they brought the crowd back every single time. The crowd was going in the business because they wanted Bryan, but they got them behind everything every single time. It was fantastic.
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. And this was some of the best promo work I've seen Randy Orton do in a long time. And it's something of... Because I'm not a fan of Randy. I don't particularly care for him. I especially don't like it when he talks because I don't think he's very good at talking. This is some of the best promo work I've seen Orton do in a long time. This was what this segment needed to be. It needed to be strong. It needed to feel important and big. Because they keep hyping this up as the biggest thing ever. And to be fair, it is big. It is important. It's a title unification. For those of us that remember, it has happened before. And I feel like they're kind of forgetting it a little bit. But this is a big deal to have the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship being unified. Tonight was the last Monday Night Raw we were going to have two world champions. Potentially. Think about that.
They're making it feel like a big deal.
Which is important, and it's like, that's what you needed to do. That's what this segment needed. Now, as far as all the former world champions behind them, or the, you know, WWE champions, well,
yeah, the swag.
We'll get into that.
Well, get into, you had Swagger, you had Kali.
Yeah, Kali shouldn't have been out there. No offense to Kali, but he should not have been out there.
Anything else you want to get into about those world champions?
Punk was having fun.
Punk was having a lot of fun. Smirking and all that fun stuff. Alright, so, as I said, they brawled. Then it got chaotic. You had them pull them apart. You had heels and faces pull one side, heels and faces pull the other side. Orton was being pulled back by a few. CM Punk was trying to calm him down. They exchanged words. Punk attacked Orton. Triple H pulled Punk off of Orton. The crowd, they felt this eruption coming. Punk just sat there for a second on the ground, got up, and smashed Triple H right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Then, bam, sweet chin music to CM Punk. Bam, he caught him good. Then, Bryan, running knee to the heartbreak kid. You thought, right there, big enough. Wasn't over. Orton goes for an RKO on Daniel Bryan. Bryan blocks, shells Orton into Stephanie. Stephanie takes a fall. Hunter is freaked. He checks on his wife. Randy Orton's looking over. He's saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Hunter grabs Orton. Pedigree. And then you had John Cena, Kane, and Hunter pull Steph up as Raw went off the air.
And the closing shot is Orton laying on his back going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, with Cena, Kane, Hunter, and Stephanie all looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you want to get into first?
I'll let you lead this.
Well, going into tonight, we figured something big was going to happen. There
Correct.
Was this hunch that something big was going to happen because it's one of the last Raws of 2013. They're heading into WrestleMania. They're going to have to start setting things up for Mania.
And if you remember remember Slammy Awards in the past, we had Shawn challenge Taker. We had other things. There's been moments on the show that set up WrestleMania.
Right, so you figure something was going to happen.
And there were some teases in this bit. I'm still going with Hunter, with Sean and Brian, just because, yeah.
I'm still hesitant on Sean and Brian. I think Sean and Brian, the confrontation between those two, was really Brian kind of getting payback a little bit for what happened at Hell in the Cell and the fact that Sean screwed him over. And Sean's been a jerk to him ever since.
But it seemed they've been on even ground so far. You don't know. It's one of those teases.
Right, you don't know. It could be just Brian getting his retribution. They could be setting up Sean to have one more match. And, it, you know, if Sean's going to get in the ring with anybody, it should be Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the other one. Hunter and Punk?
Hunter and Punk is more definite, and this is kind of something I'm really curious to see how they play into Hunter and Punk. Because there's such a history between those two that's never really been resolved.
They rushed the match. They never had this, like, proper big build to a match.
Right. It's like they went after SummerSlam. It's like they had a ladder match, and Punk got screwed in the ladder match. And, yeah, it's like that whole first feud between Hunter and Punk in a couple years ago, right after Punk came back. It was rushed. It wasn't done properly. And it left a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth. So I'm curious to see how they do this one between Hunter and Punk. I think it will be better and stronger. And I think we're going to see Hunter try to do the same tricks to Punk that they did to Daniel Bryan. And Punk's not going to fall for it. Because I think Punk knows better.
And I think there's also the tease of another Orton-Punk situation.
There is the tease of another Orton-Punk situation. Definitely that happened as well. You had people taking swings at people. But this was just like, holy crap, one thing right after the other. And it was literally a domino effect. I mean, literally, you just saw it all unfold. And it's all caused by Orton and the fact that he took one shot at Punk, and it all spiraled out of control from there, with it ending with Stephanie McMahon taking a bump, which right. I was really shocked at, that they actually had Stephanie get knocked down. Because they don't, you know, typically if there's a woman in the ring, she gets out very quickly, but they had Stephanie stay in the ring, she was in the middle of the fray, she gets caught by Orton, and she gets knocked over by Orton.
She got knocked over, she didn't physically get hit, she got knocked over, that's their, you know, line, as it were, and they did so late in the show, where any situation, you can stretch it a little bit.
Right, they did it in the overrun. It's past 11. You can technically get away with it. But you had Stephanie get knocked down, and it's that moment you know where it's... There's the moment where Orton will fall out of favor with the authority.
Right. Now, before we get into that, really quickly, I'm going to throw this out there. We're not going to discuss it. Maybe another day. DX versus Punk and Bryan at WrestleMania.
It could happen.
But yeah, is Orton out of favor, or will he apologize to the authority, and maybe they'll have his back come Sunday?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't think they will. Something tells me Orton's time is done, because it's like, you see the way that Orton is getting, and he's getting to be a handful. He's getting full of himself. You know, he's saying that he's bigger in the business. He's being disrespectful to the business and to people involved in the business, and that's something that Hunter and certain other people, dead people, don't like.
Right.
So that could be another setup, is that there, you know, somebody has to come back and humble humble Orton.
That's also possible as well.
We don't know, because we don't know the status of Brock, and basically we don't know the status of Brock for Mania, and we don't know who's getting Brock at Mania. We know somebody will, but we don't know who it is. But yeah, so it's something of, they did a lot of teases tonight, they did a lot of setups for things that could happen in the future, so I guess, you know, we'll have to see. My only complaint really about this show...
Mm-hmm.
Is I felt like in certain stories, Wyatt's, that they didn't quite move them forward as much as they should have.
There was a reason for that.
Oh, I know there was a reason for that, because they're going to do it on SmackDown.
Right, and they had so many awards to give the Daniel Bryan.
Right? Well, it's like, it's something...
Like, they couldn't take him out tonight, because...
Like, you were almost waiting for something to happen to Daniel Bryan or to Brie Bella when they were accepting their awards. Whether it's the Wyatt screw with Brie, whether it's they screw with Daniel while he's accepting the award.
Yeah, but tonight was about Daniel Bryan shining rather than an attack. But that's because they shouldn't be featuring Cena and Orton on SmackDown. This will put more focus on Bryan on SmackDown.
Which means Punk and Bryan will get the Punk match and the Bryan match will get pushed on SmackDown, which is fine. But it's just like, I hate when they do the show like this. I hate when they do the award show. It's as much fun as the Slammies are and as entertaining as they are. I almost wish the Slammies were their own separate show.
Like, not the go home of the show.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like they time this all really awkwardly because it's like you set the Slammies on the go home of TLC.
Yeah, and they've done that the last few years.
It's like something you could do at the night after TLC. If you really wanted to, and it would still be fine. You could do it for Christmas. You could do it whenever, because it's something of, you've got a lot of really hot stories right now, and you could really push them. And for whatever reason, Miz had the Tons of Funk graphics when he was coming out. Damn it, Sin Cara!
Oops.
But yeah, it's just, I hate it when they do like this, because it's like, it's the go home to your show. You could have done the Slammies last week. You could have done them the week of Thanksgiving. You could do them the week of Christmas. You have numerous other opportunities to do the Slammies, and I don't know why you would set it for the go home, especially when you're pushing something as big as a title unification, why you would rush all that and cram all that into like a one overrun segment.
That said, it was really well done.
Oh, the overrun segment was incredibly well done. Not gonna lie, it's like that sold pay-per-views.
That sold pay-per-views, and for everyone talking bad about WWE, that's the good. They got their crap together this week.
They did. So I'm curious to see what they do on SmackDown. I'm actually excited for SmackDown because I want to see what they do for the final push. For TLC.
And speaking of TLC, Wednesday night, a special day and time, 11 p.m. Eastern, this Wednesday, it's a special edition of The Rack.
That's right. We're going to be talking all about, stuff. I don't know yet because we don't have Impact. And, we don't have anything else planned, so tune in. But we promise it will be entertaining. Worst case, we can talk about Total Divas. Because there's a wild Rowan sighting.
We'll be talking all about TLC and making our final predictions for that show. Like I said, no Rack Thursday. It's on Wednesday. Friday afternoon, the Total Divas, the Rack Extra podcast as we review Total Divas episode number 14. Saturday night, midnight, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. You never know what we'll get into. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live at 11 p.m. Eastern, as we'll be breaking down everything that happens at TLC. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. On my website, under the Contact Us section, is a link to my Redbubble store. You can buy select artworks there. If I could talk and not do it weirdly. Anyway, you can buy select artworks at the Redbubble store under the Contact Us section of psychwarddesigns.com, including the portrait of a Wyatt that was featured on the WWE app. Yes, I'm going to keep pushing that until something else happens.
Until you hatch another egg.
Until I hatch another egg. You can also go to CassidyRiley.net and, of course, listen to The Rack. This week on Wednesday, every other week on Thursday, 11 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com. Also visit rackradioshow.com and buy the official t-shirt where?
ProWrestlingTees.com/rackradioshow. So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and this has been another edition of the Raw Power Show Live. Presented by PW Mania, MMLatePromo.com. We'll see you Wednesday for the Rack. And all week long right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.